Hey everybody, it's Marcus here, and you're listening to the Good E-Reader Radio Show. To the Good E-Reader Radio Show. My name is Marcus. The date is August the 3rd, 2011. Summer here in Vancouver has been a long time in coming. Normally we get in the Northwest, and this is a county in Seattle and everything. We don't really get good weather until July. This year it seems as though the nice weather really just started to happen 3 or 4 days ago. I'm loving it. Life is beautiful. In the e-reader realm, things are maybe not as beautiful, but certainly newsworthy. If you have been paying attention to things in the e-reader sphere, you would know that there is a new e-reader that came out, which we reviewed, called the iRiver Story HD. You can read our full written review by visiting our blog at goodereader.com/blog. And we have a little picture iRiverStory HD review. You can simply click on that to read our full written review, but it also includes video reviews and our unboxing. We are doing some ebook loading tutorials on this as well, and this is exclusively on our YouTube channel at youtube.com/user/goodyreader. So if you want to know how to use Calibre, Adobe Digital Editions, and other programs that enable you to sideload your own books in, you can go for the proverbial gold. Here is my take on the iRiverStory HD. It's very much like a Kindle. If you have saw e-readers or seen them before, certainly the Kindle, the iRiverStory is similar in a respect that has a full QWERTY keyboard. Not too many e-readers out there have full keys. The one thing I liked about this e-reader is the navigation. It's done by a slider as opposed to a lot of other e-readers, and Kobo is guilty of this. Same with Amazon and a whole slew of other e-readers such as Augin, the Book, and readers that have like a D-pad for you to navigate. Keep in mind, touchscreen e-readers are rather new. It really wasn't until Sony released theirs onto the mass market scale, and then Kobo with the touch, and then Barnes & Noble with the simple touch reader. So people are a little bit spoiled now with touchscreen, but with most e-readers, you navigate via a D-pad, and this allows you to scroll through various menus, even to turn various pages and books. This was a little bit interesting because it's slim designed down to have a little bit of a slider, so it enabled you to go left, right, up, down, and then to the immediate right of it, you had an enter key, and to the immediate left of it, you had a back key. So this makes navigating the e-reader pretty easy. And the thing I liked about this was the resolution. It is pretty solid at 1024 by 768. So that's where the iRiverStory HD part of it comes along. High def. It does 213 DPI. I'm not going to bore you with semantics, but the processor is 800 megahertz. And you have roughly about 2 gigs of internal memory. Now, the big hype about this e-reader is that it's the first one that enables you to tap into the Google ebook market. Now, this is roughly about 2 million plus free books that you can download, and there's just over 100,000 paid books. This e-reader is only good if you live in the States. If you live in the United States, Google ebooks loads up perfectly, both the free and purchased. If you live outside the United States, like I do in Canada, you do not have the ability to even download the free books to the device. So this makes it pretty well a United States exclusive until Google, which is the ecosystem for books, finally delivers content on a device like this outside. Now, we do have some news that just came down the pipe, and this was on the 29th. We broke the story that Google eBooks is going to be launching in Canada soon. Google had sent an email out to various publishers and content partners who either represent publishing companies or agents of many authors. So they sent him an email and said, "As you know, we're working with our partners toward launching Google eBooks in Canada in the near future. Google eBooks is a paid access product that will enable you to sell digital books through Google Books. Google eBooks are stored in the cloud, and they can be read online and offline on any compatible device. Users can discover Google eBooks via the Google eBook Store, Google Search, or our online retail partners. They're excited, blah, blah, blah." So this is interesting news that Google eBooks is going to be moving to Canada, because that will allow Canadian customers to actually utilize the iRiverStory to download and purchase books directly through the iRiverStory HD. I liked it. It's just a shame that the content doesn't really work. Books took a long time to load. There is a secret internet browser on the device, so this will allow you to browse the web, but it is very experimental, and this is why there wasn't a dedicated internet button, but you have to jump through a ton of hoops to get it. We have a video on this on our review video as well as on our YouTube channel, so if you want to find out how you do it, Mainly we shot the video because there was a lot of conflicting information when we were searching on how to do this ourselves on the internet. When we first got the reader, you know, we were looking at various blogs that, long story short, just basically told you what to do. There really wasn't very many blogs that were accurate. If not, none of them were accurate. It was just one blog in particular picked up on the story, and all the other blogs just parroted it without actually having the hardware in their hands, so they didn't really know what they were talking about. So we did a step-by-step video that really just shows you how to do it. So, you know, obviously we do these because we want people to know what to do. So here at Goody Reader, you know, we definitely support playing around with these devices and, you know, getting the most out of it. You know, sometimes when you spend $100, $150, you want to be able to get the most out of it. So we teach you how to do that. And that's what we do with our review videos as well as our YouTube videos as well. So that is my take on the iRiver Story HD. Solid reader, but if you live outside the US, it's really well no-go. Now, you might have noticed we've been speaking about the United States a lot. And there are two bits of news that, if you live there, you might dig this. Office Max will be carrying the Nook line of e-readers, and they have started to do this already. They will be selling the Barnes & Noble Simple Touch Reader and the Nook Color, and Office Max joins Walmart, Staples, and other big box retailers carrying the Nook product line. They will be carrying them at around 1,000 different locations. And good move. You know, the more that e-readers are available in these locations, the more the average consumer, when they're doing their shopping or what have you, will be made aware of them. I'm a big fan of both the Nook Color and a Simple Touch Reader. The Nook Color, really solid Android device. We actually just got, and we're going to be reviewing this in the next day or two, an SD card that will actually allow your Nook Color to boot, once you have the SD card in there, to boot to a Google Android 2.3 operating system where you can install apps from the Google Android market. You can pretty well just use it as a full-fledged tablet. And doing it this way won't void your warranty. It's a lot simpler than rooting your device with complex methods to the average user. And if you want to go back to your standard Nook Color interface, you can just take the SD card out and your Nook Color will boot as normally. So you can check that review out in the coming days. In other big box news, Toys R Us will be carrying the Amazon Kindle in almost all their USA based stores. So these are on sale right now. You'll be able to get the Kindle 3rd generation, both the Wi-Fi and 3G models, and they'll also be offering the very popular Amazon Kindle with special offers. Not only will you be able to buy the e-readers at these stores, but you'll also be able to buy cases and accessories as well. If you buy an e-reader before August the 6th, you will receive a $10 store gift card that you can use pretty well to go towards accessories or, you know, what have you. So that's the big box news in e-readers. If you have an Apple iPad, an iPhone, an iPod Touch, what have you, there's been a lot of drama in the Apple ecosystem as of late. Here's the story. Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Borders, and Kobo all had to remove links to the store as well as the ability to buy ebooks through the app. And this was all to comply with Apple's new mandated policy that all digital sales have to go through the iTunes store. This is both for safety and security, as well as Apple's taking 30% cut. This, you know, this affects the ebook stores to a really huge degree. Think about how many ebooks Amazon sells, Borders, Kobo, and Barnes & Noble, how many they sell a year. They sell hundreds of thousands each. Now, Apple could quickly make $100 million in a year just based off of those four companies. So rather than them say, okay, you know, we'll give you 30%, they all said, no, we're just going to cut the links to the stores and suspend the ability to buy ebooks directly through the app. they all updated their app last week, and they all removed the ability to purchase digital content through it. If you're a casual e-reader, if you don't pay attention to blogs like ours, which you obviously you should, and if you're listening to this radio show, you will certainly get all of the news that you need to understand your e-reader and understand the e-book ecosystem. So I hopefully will say that if you're listening to this show, you will understand and you have a basic ability to comprehend the words that are speaking out of my mouth. And what this goes to show is that these ebook companies are not caving to Apple's demands. Rather than make life easier for their customers, they're in fact going to make it harder so Apple doesn't get a large piece of the pie. We wrote an interesting article on August the 1st. It was about how iOS customers are expressing tremendous disdain on the changes to their favorite ebook stores. If you don't pay attention to blogs like ours, listen to radio shows like ours, or, you know, spend at least a few minutes a day checking out all the latest news, you may not just be aware of this whole saga as it unfolded. Most people, you know, buy an iPad, they may install the Amazon app, they may read a book and it may take them a few weeks to do it, and then suddenly when they want to go back to the app and buy a book, they can. So pretty well all over the Amazon forums, all over the Kobo blog and a Tumblr account that people who actually work at Kobo use, there was a slew of like negative comments, people just wondering, hey, what's going on? Nobody informed me about these changes. Why isn't, you know, your apps, or why can't I buy books? Is there something wrong with my device? And a lot of these companies just didn't do a good job making their customers aware of these impending changes. And when they did, I a lot of people just, when they sign up for a service maybe a year ago, 2 years ago, or even 6 months ago, email addresses change, you know. Things go to the junk box. You may not get every email that's sent to you for whatever reason. You got a new smartphone and, hey, just emails just don't come in. So a lot of these companies just sent one email after the fact to let people know. A lot of people are irate, and it's just with just cause. You know, if you buy an iPad to read books, which I know a lot of people that do, and there is the big argument about LCD versus e-ink, but that's an argument for another time. People buy iPads and they like to play games, but they also, a lot of people buy them just to read technical manuals, PDFs, and so on. And, you know, occasionally they might read a fiction book or some trashy vampire fantasy book. When you suddenly have the ability not to do that, it's a lot of people just, is it me? Is it my device? What's going on? And so I really think that these companies could have done a better job, because Apple gave them 4 or 5 months in advance, and they pretty well all left it until the very, very latest that they could do, and then suspended it. To be fair, Barnes & Noble is selling select content through its service and giving a cut to Apple, but mainly it's a few magazines here and there. It's certainly none of their books or anything like that. So that's really been probably the biggest story of the last few days, was that the, you know, iOS devices, they're really not, they're not everything it cracked up to be right now. And all this just changed, so one wonders how this will affect the ebook market on iOS devices going forward. This may leave a lot of room for independent companies to suddenly, you know, say, hey, you know, you could buy books through our app, you know, unlike Amazon and Barnes & Noble and Kobo. So it may allow independent companies to flourish, because people are used to one-click purchases, one-click installs. You know, we live in like a one-click culture. If you spend any amount of time online, a lot of things, Facebook Connect, Twitter Connect, it's very easy to like register or to set up an account on a new service by just clicking a button. And for me, I love that. In the same respect, the more hoops that people are having to jump through, a large number of those people will just say, you know, screw it, I don't want to fill out all these forms or go through all these like hoops and things like that. So it may leave room for companies that say, hey, you know, you could one-click purchase with us, no problem. So if there's any silver lining to this whole situation, you know, that's pretty well it. If you're a Harry Potter fan, there is a way that you can capitalize on the Pottermore beta program. This is a way that when the official service launches soon, by soon I mean October, you can actually get in to be a beta contestant. And the way that you do that is 7 books, 7 days, and 7 chances on Pottermore.com. The whole essence of it is each day there's going to be a clue from a specific book. So on Monday it was based on the Philosopher's Stone, book 2, obviously Chamber of Secrets, and, you know, so on, right? And so the whole thing is they ask you a question, the question's based on some event that happened in your book, and you have to follow the instructions. If you answer one of the questions right, and they pretty well don't post the questions on a specific time every day, it's usually randomized, so you don't have a million people trying to log in the site at, you know, 7 a.m. And from what we understand, the first 5 people that get it right will actually get beta access, and you'll receive an automatic email from Pottermore giving you the ability to register a new account. So Betty Bear listeners, if you are a contestant on there, holler at us. We wouldn't mind checking it out or seeing what your experiences are like with it. Personally, I'm not the biggest Harry Potter fan. I've read almost all the books, and I've seen all the movies. Obviously, the books are always better than the movies, but I just, you know, I kind of just lost interest halfway through the series. You know, obviously it's aimed at kids, or the kid in all of us, as they say, but yeah, I couldn't feel it. But I must say that the last 2 movies, Deathly Hallows 1 and 2, are pretty action-packed. Cinematography, the acting, everything's really improved. It's just a shame it's all coming to an end. Speaking of the end, Sony has discontinued their entire e-reader product line. This includes the PRS 350, 650, the Daily Edition. You can't order them on USA-based websites, although you can still order them on the Canadian websites. Sony has suspended manufacturing these e-readers to make room for the PRS T1, which will be out in the next few weeks. If you're a regular reader of our blog, you may have noticed that there's been a lot of drama surrounding the PRS T1, which is the new Sony e-reader. It's at the FCC now, so it's just a matter of time. Usually, once things arrive and pass the FCC, it's really less than like 2 weeks at the soonest that a product can really hit the shelves. Here's the story. A Sony executive stated the company was developing a new breed of e-reader. And then a day afterwards, or not even 24 hours afterwards, Sony put out an official position saying, no, this executive is wrong, there is no e-reader in the works, it's pure fiction. And then, you know, we see an FCC application for a new Sony e-reader, so, you know, obviously they're not letting their guys leak anything until Sony is ready. And that's really how these big companies work. Sony really does plan on introducing 2 models over the next few months, which are the spiritual successors of the PRS 350 and 650. So these are both 5-inch and 6-inch devices. They will have touchscreen. They will have Wi-Fi as well as a revised graphical user interface. You'll be able to tap into the Sony eBook store. There are a lot of rumors, and we've been told by one source within the Sony organization that it'll be run on an Android operating system. So it's much akin to the Barnes & Noble Nook e-Ink line of e-readers. The Nook Wi-Fi 3G and a Simple Touch, they all run on Android, which is why you see some people rooting them and even playing very laggy versions of Angry Birds on them, which is a perennial favorite of ours here at the offices. I think Sony has reason to implement Wi-Fi as well as the ability to tap into their store. if you look at the Japanese market, which is really the biggest market that Sony's focusing on right now, it's a lot of manga, it's a lot of anime, it's a lot of magazines and companies like that that Sony has built relationships with since it really went in at the very beginning of this year and diverted most of the shipments that were destined for North American and European stores. They instead diverted it to Japan to really get a big foothold there. And a lot, because, you know, it's a homegrown company, you know, for one, so the Japanese culture is more accepting of Sony releasing products there than, say, me making a company and trying to sell products there. But, you know, most people, no matter where you really are, you need the ability to read PDFs well, and so this is why they're also going to be developing a new version of the Sony Daily Edition, which is more like a 7-inch e-reader, and so they're going to be giving you the ability to purchase content, purchase magazines, purchase PDFs, get manga and things like that on a larger screen. Things res out, fully touchscreen, so you'll be able to, you know, scroll up and down pages and things like that. No word yet if it'll have a web browser, but if you're looking on buying a Sony e-reader, well, you're kind of out of luck. You might have to try eBay or our retail partner, shopereaders.com, that has all of the Sony e-readers in stock at their warehouse. And not only Sony e-readers, but any type of Amazon Kindle, any type of Nook, any type of Kobo, and a whole lot of other e-readers and tablets. So if you live outside the US and you really want to get a Nook, Shop e-readers or eBay is really your only way to go. And it's always better to deal with a company than just some random person that you never really know what you're going to get. There is a new e-reader / tablet for sale called the Pen Digital Nova. This is the brand new e-reader from Pen Digital, and it is on sale right now at Best Buy locations. Again, only in the States. It's $169.99. It is an 8-inch TFT LCD. Resolution's pretty poor, 600 by 800. Processor, not too bad, 800 megahertz, which is usually about the standard with these entry-level tablets and e-readers. You got 4 gigs of storage. The nice thing about it is that it's running a modern version of Android. It is running 2.3, so it does support more features than some of Pen Digital's earlier iterations of the Pen Digital Novel. And the Pen Digital Novel line of e-readers and tablets. There's been about 3 so far, and there's been a big saga about this company too. They kind of burst on the scene, kind of came out with the Pen Digital Novel. There was a lot of problems. They did a recall. They sent out new e-readers. The firmware was buggy. They recalled those as well. They released another version of it, which seemed to work, but by then they kind of jaded and alienated a lot of their initial customers that, you know, were trying to support the company. Now, they don't do too bad. They're in... When we did our 2010 end-of-year review, Pen Digital, interesting enough, was the third largest sales record in the United States as far as e-readers went, and this was Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Pen Digital, and then Kobo. So Pen Digital is definitely making inroads, but it's because they really did a fine job at getting their e-reader in the hands of a lot of big box retailers, Best Buy, and if you live in Canada, at Future Shop. So you are able to buy them at a number of electronics retailers. I can't really... Yeah, I don't know if I could recommend this. It's Android 2.3. It is $169, so it is fairly cheap to do it. Although, I would probably wait for the new Supernova e-reader. And this is just at the FCC right now. It's actually sporting dual cameras, one on the front, one at the back. And it has a capacitive touchscreen. So, you won't get those washed out colors like you would on a lot of the other Pen Digital e-readers. Because with resistive screens, you have a, a layer of film on top of it, and that makes a lot of colors look washed out, videos not look as high as resolution. It's always why when you buy these entry-level e-readers and it's, say they have like HDMI or like a mini HDMI out and you hook it up to your TV, you're like, wow, this video looks so much better on my TV than it does on my e-reader. Well, it's because of the e-reader screen. I really think that the Supernova may be the better investment. It may cost a little bit more, but with dual cameras and a capacitive touchscreen, I really think that it could do kind of well. There's been a whole ton of news in the e-reader sphere, too much to really go over. One of the other bits of news I want to lay down on you guys before I let you go for today, Pushpop Press has been acquired by Facebook. You may not have heard of them before. We've only really reported on them once when they developed technology that allowed fully interactive ebooks. And these were ebooks that were available on the Apple iPad. The company had partnered with one Al Gore, creating a book called Our Choice, and featured both audio, video, maps, and a great narrative voiced by Al Gore. The company announced today that Facebook had purchased them and their technology for an undisclosed sum. Pushpop Press has said that their Al Gore book will continue to be available on the iTunes market and stay that way. They also mentioned that Facebook was not going into the business of selling digital e-books. Instead, the social media giant will implement some of the underlying technologies into a future product. This currently is on the front page of our blog. We actually have a video that's about 2 minutes that walks you through. And it's very cool technology in the way that you can kind of like drag and drop, you know, photos and, you know, video. It's actually super cool. And when I first heard about this company and the technologies that they were doing, you know, when you cover news like this for a living and there's, you know, new companies all the time and a lot of them are kind of all doing the same thing, and then companies like this come along and kind of really kind of innovate things. It's not just a run-of-mill enhanced ebook, but it was a platform that they developed. It wasn't just, hey, check out a book that we made with Al Gore. It has video and audio like a lot of other enhanced ebooks. So it was a publishing platform that they made, which was a totally different engine, and they were going to start offering this to, you know, other writers and authors to start publishing their own stuff underneath of this, but they sold out to Facebook. I can't say I wouldn't have done the same thing. I really recommend that you guys check out the goodyreader.com/blog if you're listening to this on iTunes, or if you're listening to it on various other websites that syndicate all of our content. We have been pumping out the articles lately, to say the least. There's been a tremendous amount of tablet news coming out, but as always, we try to balance it with a lot of e-reader, e-book, and digital publishing news. After all, we're called Good E-Reader. We're not called Good Tablets. So there's just been a lot of tablet news coming out lately. So we've been kind of reporting on that. For the main part, that a lot of people end up buying tablets to read PDFs, technical manuals. They buy it for their work, and in their spare time, they download the Barnes & Noble app, Kobo app, Amazon app. They read books, magazines, newspapers. There's a lot of reasons why tablets are very good for reading. For one, they're full color. So for me, I do like occasionally to read a good comic book, whether it's a hero in capes type of book or whether it's, you know, manga, anime, you know, like connoisseur of all literary content, basically. And so in full color tablets, comic books and manga and things like that really shine, and it's really nice to be able to see stuff in full color rather than see something that was originally made in color in e-ink. I can only get into books on e-readers. I can't really get into, you know, magazines on e-readers that were originally like a Vanity Fair, or if, you know, if you're a chick, and or like Cosmopolitan, you know, you could read it on an e-reader, sure, but how do you know what color dresses she's wearing if the whole issue is about summer fashion and it's just all these dresses that look different shades of black and gray? How do you really know? Whereas if you look on a tablet, full color glory, my friends. So where I'm going with this is we do anywhere between 7 and 12 articles a day now, crazy amount of multimedia content. Make GoodyReader.com your online destination for all things e-readers, tablets, digital publishing, and ebooks, as well as with me, Marcus, on the Goody Reader Radio Show. Speaking of such, I will let you guys go for today, but everybody take care.